You are all members of the Yakuza, and you happen to be visiting the Lackawanna Trolley Museum, and you are attacked by triads. How can you hold them off until your clan arrives? You cannot go wrong with a throat punch. God!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, post-Cowboys episode. Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. And we promised you guys a lot more content this year. And with the content comes sponsors. We are sponsored officially by Mojo. I'm sure you've seen their ads all over social media from Ocho Cinco and other celebrities. Let's tell you about them real quick. What if you could invest in Victor Cruz stock when he was an undrafted free agent, or Tiki Barber as a second round pick, or Phil Sims, who admitted on draft day, "Most people have never heard of me." Now it's not what if, but who's next? Mojo is the all new sports stock market that lets you invest in your favorite athletes and cash in on your passion. Sign up right now on the Apple App Store to get your first stock free, worth up to $10,000. Over 300 NFL players are listed on Mojo, so you can invest in rookies like Breece Hall, rising stars like Elijah Moore, comeback candidates like Saquon Barkley, and superstars like Patrick Mahomes. Go long to make money when an underrated diamond in the rough breaks out, or short an overrated rival and make money as he flops. Prices move with every play, every game, and every headline, and you can buy and sell instantly anytime, all year long, so the action never stops. Mojo is live in New Jersey now, so New Jersey residents, download Mojo in the Apple App Store today and start turning playmakers into moneymakers. Must be 21 or older to use Mojo and located in New Jersey to make trades. Have a gambling problem? Help is available at 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit mojo.com for more info. We'll talk a little bit more about Mojo later in the episode. Let's get into it. Weiss, this is the first time in a while we've recorded right after a game.
I think it was the last time we did after a game was that Tampa Bay game.
Yeah.
That game last year, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think where we should really start, and I'll just, I feel like this is just going to be my overarching message to the listeners and to the fans throughout the rest of the season. The objective has not changed. Right, we're riding high. We're 2-0. We're 1-point favorites against the Cowboys at home. Monday Night Football, Ring of Honor ceremonies, the works, whiteout. We're excited about the coaching staff, and everything's great. And it's a close game, and the Giants lose, and everyone is freaking out, and the world's over. The objective has not changed, guys. Listen, the Giants were once again at a talent disadvantage for most positions. The coaching was good again. There are going to be some things that we didn't like we'll talk about. But again, the sky is not falling. The world is not over. This was never about this season. So just take a deep breath. Relax a little bit. All right, let's talk about the game.
You should get angry, but just get over it a lot quicker than you normally would.
Yeah, listen, there are plenty of things that we'll be angry about. But, win, lose, tie, it's not about this season. It's about building and going forward. All right. So,
all right, the game.
Let's talk about the game.
There were highs. There were lows. We just talked about staying even keel. But there were really some highs in this game.
We'll get passionate. Don't worry.
There were some lows. Obviously, we're fans. I thought, overall, you just look at the offensive line. It's just a reminder.
Yeah, let's start there.
It's just a reminder that the Giants offensive line is still a work in progress. And they really have one position in the offensive line really shored up, and that's left tackle. The hope is you have the right side shored up as well, but mainly the interior of the offensive line. They need,
I got DM'd actually by one of our followers, Ishan. He's been a listener for some time. And, I tweeted out for questions and comments and topics that people wanted to hear us talk about. And he said, more of a comment than a question, but people need to realize we have three journeyman interior offensive linemen and a rookie right tackle. This was a I think you meant this is a reality check for on national television. That's what it was. This game is probably going to be Evan Neal's worst game.
I agree.
Probably ever. Yes. I mean, it's really, really tough to get worse than he was throughout the course of the game. DeMarcus Lawrence just ate his lunch, shit in his cereal. Any, you know, idiom that you can think of, DeMarcus Lawrence did it to Evan Neal.
I mean, there was one play that DeMarcus Lawrence didn't even use like a pass rushing move. He just ran right by Evan Neal.
It looked like Evan Neal's feet were in cement.
You just knew Evan Neal was not, he was just, I don't want to say the moment was too big for him because he's played in some, you know, high. You know, he's played in those type of big games, but it just seemed like he was overwhelmed.
And we spoke about it with RJ during our Cowboys preview. The advantage was going to be the Cowboys defense. Yeah, it wasn't just going to be Micah Parsons. It was going to be DeMarcus Lawrence. Yeah. And yes, they have a very good defense.
Yeah, I would say if you're naming the top defensive lines in football, the Cowboys are either one or two. I mean, they're a dominant front. I think they showed it today. I thought overall the Giants, it became evident pretty early on that if they were going to win this game, it was going to be because their defense either forces a key turnover or they can keep the Cowboys from scoring. And while they only gave up 20 points, it was the fact that the Giants gave up two touchdowns in the second half of a game that was 6-6 at halftime. So,
and should have been 9-6.
Yeah.
Really. If that field goal attempt isn't blocked.
Right. It was 6-3 at halftime, but it was 6-6 early in the third quarter before the Giants gave up those two scores. And, you know, I think, like I said, it's a reality check for the Giants about where they are, even though, you know, the Dallas Cowboys were missing Dak Prescott, even though the Dallas Cowboys were missing Michael Gallup, even though the Dallas Cowboys were missing Dalton Schultz, all starters, and they were missing their left guard.
And they were starting a rookie at left tackle.
Yeah, the talent deficiencies still showed. You know, like the Giants still have a ways to go. There's still a lot of work to do with this roster. And defensively, I think it was shocking to see that a team that has been good stopping the run just get gassed by a Cowboys offensive line that I don't particularly think
is not that good.
Is not a good offensive line.
They're not a good unit.
When Leonard Williams goes down, they just don't have anybody that can step up. They don't have it. The linebacker.
I did think that Dexter Lawrence had a good game.
Yeah, I think Dexter Lawrence is a good player, but I thought overall, the Giants couldn't stop the run. They couldn't set the edge. A lot of talk about Ojulari and Thibodeau. I think it was their first game back from an injury. They were on a snap count. If this was, you know, later in the season and we're 4 or 5 games into this and they're still not generating the pass rush, then we can, you know.
Yeah, I'm not freaking out about it.
But overall,
they were non-existent for the most part.
No, they were not, and I didn't expect like a big game from them. But I think you saw early on that this isn't a game that I think there's going to be an impactful pass rush game just because the snap count from their two pass rushers, but. I think that, to me, that's the main takeaway. Like, when I sit down and I calm down and I look over things, I come away saying, you know, the Giants are still far away from a talent perspective. I think coaching-wise, you know, Brian Daboll didn't cost the Giants anything with the way he coached. I thought his clock management in that fourth quarter to get the ball back was fine. He had two timeouts. I think it was 3 minutes and some odd seconds. Cowboys got 3 yards. It was 2nd and 7. He called a timeout. They ended up getting a first down. Point being, I thought the clock management was fine there. A little bit of a weird situation at the end of the first half. They got sort of inside the 50, inside the 45 of the Cowboys. Weren't necessarily in position to kick a field goal. I thought what Brian Daboll wanted to do was he wanted to wind the clock down to like 10 to 12 seconds. And then go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, quick play.
Yeah, with the intention of, even if I don't get it,
they won't have enough time to
run multiple plays. Yeah. But then Mike McCarthy called a timeout.
So, yeah, and then the fourth down play, very weirdly, only took 2 seconds.
Yeah, it was a drop by Kenny Golladay, and I'm sure we'll talk about him too at some point.
We will talk about not just him, but all the receivers.
My overall perspective, like I said, is it's talent deficiencies, and I think it showed.
Agreed. You did bring up Thibodeau and Ojulari.
Yeah.
And listen, I realistically, like, I wasn't expecting much. Mm-hmm. But there was that little piece of me, like, in the back of my head where I was like, oh man, you know, like Thibodeau's that guy, you know, like,
yeah,
like he style it, like he's like defensive Odell a little bit, where like he loves the media, like he loves the attention, like his first game, prime time.
Giants pass rusher. I mean, you look at the
white out, color rush jerseys, prime time, Monday night against the division rival. Like, part of me was like, oh man, like I really think he's just gonna take.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, have that game where it's just like, oh, like there he is, like that's the guy. But you know, whatever. First game after an MCL, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. Like, well, we can get annoyed at that later in the season if the pass rush isn't there. So yeah, that's really all I got to say about that. Xavier McKinney, I thought, had a great game.
Had a really. Can I say something about Xavier McKinney?
Go ahead.
I'm watching him. You know, I think McKinney's game is very similar to Ed Reed. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be. I think Ed Reed's the greatest safety of all time.
Yes,
I'm not saying that, you know, McKinney is going to be the greatest safety of all time. But, dude, he can cover and he can play in the box.
Yeah.
That's what Ed Reed was. That's why I think Ed Reed was so great, was because his ability to do multiple things really, really well.
And he had just an off the charts football IQ.
I don't know if McKinney can hit as hard as Ed Reed did, because
probably not. No, but you look at him as a guy and you're like, okay,
this is a football. Like, this is a special player.
He's a football player. Yeah, and he's going to be a Giant for a long time. Yeah, like, he can be like you think of like 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna, like, you have a good pass rush, and like, right, you look at the secondary. Like,
yes,
he's gonna be like that leader, like that dude, and eventually he will get like the national press that he deserves, right. I think.
That's what I was just about to say. I think once as the defense continues to get better and they continue to add more talent, we will see Xavier McKinney pop off even more.
Yeah.
But when I saw him covering CD on that deep ball, and then
he got his arm in there. It was nice. Yeah.
Made a good play, and then I remember what he did last week playing, you know, at the line of scrimmage. So just a really special player I think the Giants have in McKinney.
Yep. Agreed. Should we talk about the offense?
Let's talk about the offense. Let's go with the quarterback.
I want to start with Kafka real quick.
Okay.
I, especially in the first half,
yes,
I really liked the game plan.
You're a big Kafka guy.
A big Kafka guy. I mean, I think you are too.
I am.
But it was like, you knew what the plan was right away. It was, this offensive line cannot hold up against his pass rush. Daniel Jones was pressured 24 times, I think, which was
657. Yeah, the most.
I'm pretty sure it was 24. Yeah. We'll revisit the numbers, but it was it was. I think his career high was 22, so a new career high for him. And on top of that, I think it was the most time a quarterback's been pressured in the NFL this year. So he was under siege the whole game. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the offensive line. But it was obvious that the game plan from the get go was going to be get the ball out of his hands quick. We're going to run the ball. And when we pass, it's going to be bang, bang, bang. Just like, pick up those chunk yards, move down the field. And I really like the game plan. They didn't put up points, but
they moved the ball. They moved the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I thought it was a good game plan for the talent disparity between the Cowboys' defensive line, the Giants' offensive line, and the limitations at quarterback and receiver. So I really did think that the game plan was good. You know, we'll probably revisit that a little bit more and watch some more highlights and film and all 22, and we'll talk about it before our Bears preview.
Yeah.
But I really did like Kafka's game plan coming in right out of the gates.
Yeah, I mean, it's the limitations that were tough, but I think with the quarterback, and I said this multiple times on Twitter.
I agree with you, to be honest.
There's this thing going on in my mentions. I was reading through them as I was waiting to record. Like, 50% of the people think that I actively root against Daniel Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's like 50% of the people that think that I'm in total love with Daniel Jones and I'm ready to like just give him this monster contract. And it's a very unique situation developing. Like, I almost want to take that side and the other side and just combine and just make them go at it with each other. Like, yeah. No, I'm right. No, you're right. I thought this was Daniel Jones' best game of his career. And I know people look at me like, wait, they didn't win. He didn't throw for 300 yards. I don't really put a lot of stock in statistics like that. I mean, I think it's important for a guy to, you know, score touchdowns. I think I understand the importance of that. But to me, and this is so important, like when you ask me, what are you looking for in a franchise quarterback, right? And everyone says, well, he has to be able to make people around him better, right? Mm-hmm. Quarterback has to be able to make people around him better. And then you're like, then if you go more in depth on that, it's like, well, how is he supposed to make, like if a receiver doesn't run a route properly, like how is he supposed to make him better? Here's how I'll put it. When things break down, when it's not going as planned, and you improvise, and you escape, or you run out of the pocket, or you try to make a tight window throw and put the ball in a place where your receiver can get it or your running back can get it. Though that's what people mean by, or what I mean when I say make people around him better. Daniel Jones in this game did that. He did it not only with his arm. He had a couple of nice throws. He did it with his legs, his ability to escape. He escaped, he ran, he got first downs, got chunk yards. Escaped, made a nice throw to Kenny Golladay, which was then called back on a phantom pass interference call. He escaped, made a sweet throw to Richie James, which I think was the best throw of his career.
He had basically one arm on the lineman. It was Josh Allen. That was a Josh Allen throw. Absolutely. He just floated it over the linebacker's hand by like a centimeter. It was a sick throw.
And that's what I mean. That when you ask me what I'm looking for in a franchise quarterback, and there's other things to it too, but if he can make people around him better, he can hide your deficiencies. He doesn't need a perfect environment. And I thought Daniel Jones did that. Now, the results weren't like they didn't win. He didn't have a good statistical game. But he had those moments throughout the game where you were like, okay, that's what I've been wanting to see from him. Yeah. Now, obviously, it's tough to win the National Football League when you're getting pressured, you know, 24 times and you drop back to pass 34 times. I get it. But it's those kind of moments in the game. Now, you hope that he doesn't have to do that as much as he had to do it today. But when you see a quarterback make those type of, you know, decisions and make those type of plays, it gives you confidence. It's an encouraging development. Does this mean that I think Daniel Jones is the long-term solution? No. Does it mean that I think I'm sold? No. I'm just telling you, on a game-by-game basis, the last 2 weeks, we've sat up here and we've critiqued Daniel Jones' game. We've talked about how they've won despite of him. Yeah. And everyone looked at us like, well, you're winning. Just enjoy. Yeah, that's fine. We won. I'm not angry.
That not going to complain. Yeah.
I'm just telling you this is how I would critique the quarterback over the first two games. Well, in this game, I'm not going to just, you know, vice versa. I'm not going to just sit here and be angry when we lost. No, there is positive to take away, and there is negative to take away as well. But I think the positive was the play of the quarterback was a lot better than what it was the first 2 weeks. Unfortunately, the results weren't the same.
Yeah, I agree with you for the most part. The only thing that Daniel Jones did consistently in this game, and it's not even entirely his fault, but it gets to the point where how many times does DeMarcus Lawrence need to just absolutely destroy Evan Neal for you to just not even be aware that he's barreling down on you?
You know what's crazy? The pocket awareness actually got better in the fourth quarter because he was throwing the ball away.
It did.
That was my main issue with him in the first half. Yes. Like, dude, throw the ball away. There's enough time for you to just chuck it away.
Or not even. So my main complaint with him was like, listen, if DeMarcus Lawrence is barreling down on you every single play, like, it's not even your blind side. Like, yeah. You have Andrew Thomas, who I think, like, I'm going to say it. Like, I don't care. Like, I think he's the best left tackle in the league so far this season and still improving. I think he's incredible. And he held down the left side pretty well for the most part against Micah Parsons.
There was a few moments, but yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. But, like, it was with consistency that DeMarcus Lawrence was getting into the backfield for the first, like, three quarters. And listen, if it's not enough time for the play to develop, I get it. But at the same time, like he wasn't even like looking over to his like in front of him to his right side.
The pocket awareness is a big problem.
It's a huge problem. Yeah, and listen, I'm not asking you to be able to throw it away every single play, right, but like step up. You know what I'm like? Instead of taking a sack for a loss of like five or six, like make it a loss of two or just like force your way back to the line of scrimmage. You know what I mean? Like,
I tried to say that on Twitter, but you know, like on Twitter, like people don't, it's tough to get.
Well, I did. I don't know if you saw my tweets, but I basically said that and it was people were just like, What do you want him to do? He's fucking got a second to throw. Okay, dude. Like, you see quarterbacks navigating the pocket every single week in the NFL. Like, I'm not asking for him to be Lamar Jackson. No, I'm just asking for him to
do it a lot in this game. And it's like, he's doing it.
So when he doesn't do it, it's like, come on. Yeah. You know what I mean? On one of the last drives of the game, where they're driving down the field and all right, first down, great. He threw it, like, good, like, awareness of the situation in the game, right? Like, you do not want the clock to run because you're in field goal range and you're down two scores, so you either need a touchdown or a field goal and you need to preserve clock. So first down, he winds up throwing it away. Second down, awesome, winds up throwing it away. Third down, and he takes
he sort of held the ball too long.
And then on the 3rd and 10, he takes the intentional grounding penalty. Okay. Literally like 2 seconds after I tweeted about how impressed I was with the awareness.
And he held the ball too long. He could have thrown.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. But generally, I think it did get better throughout the course of the game. So yeah, I do agree with you.
I'm surprised he survived this game. I thought for sure he was not going to get up at one point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, nothing's ever going to be as bad as Eli against the 49ers, but, like,
this was pretty bad. I was like, damn, I don't know if he's going to make it out of this game.
Yeah.
I think with Daniel, it's really an awkward situation, sort of, because the shit is sort of written on the wall on how this is going to end.
Yeah.
Right? Barring something unforeseen. So, you know, you go through these week-to-week, you know, opinions on them, and they're going to vary in a very, you know, the first 2 weeks, and it's today we're talking about how great he was even though the team lost. But it's just, it's an awkward situation. It's tough to really critique because as a fan, you're sitting there saying, I won. I don't want to hear about how bad my quarterback played.
Yeah.
You know, and then,
but you got to hear it. You got to take your medicine. Yeah,
and then, you know, the team loses. You know, and you're like, I don't want to hear about how great the quarterback played. We lost, but that's that's just the situation we're in this season with the quarterback position. Let's talk about Kenny.
Kenny Golladay. I was gonna group him in with just wide receivers in general, but yeah, let's talk about Kenny Golladay. Can I start?
Yeah.
Kenny Golladay's agent. I have not decided yet, but Kenny Galladay's agent either belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame or belongs in prison. I have not decided which one yet. The situation this past week became borderline untenable with reporters asking Galladay about his playing time and him outright saying, you know, like, I should be playing more. You're right, Kenny.
Yeah.
You should be playing more. Why aren't you? And I think that question was answered. This week, he got more snaps than he got in week one and week two combined. He had one bad drop on that back shoulder, third down throw Jones.
That was the right place where the ball is supposed to go.
Yes, I saw your tweet. Yes, because the cornerback was on the inside.
They did this with another quarterback, too. Like, the ball is supposed to go there. Oh, they did it with Jalen Hurts on a throw to A.J. Brown against Washington. Yeah. That's where the ball is supposed to go. If you throw it inside, you're risking an interception.
Yes.
Throw it to the outside. It's not. Dude, you guys been watching football?
No. It should have been caught. He had another drop later in the game
Was the crucial.
I think it was right after Sterling Shepard, another bad Sterling Shepard drop.
Which, by the way, I think was a fumble, but you know,
there was another. Yeah, I think it was a fumble too. I think it was a different one actually. Yeah. But
the one in the fourth quarter was bad.
That was bad. Yes, the other one was absolutely a fumble. If that's not a fumble, NFL needs to review their rules.
The fourth down one was bad. The one that I thought was just like I don't even know if you can play this guy again, is so Sterling Shepard catches the pass. We think it's a fumble. They call it a drop. Then it's 3rd and 13. Jones throws like an 8-yard pass to him. He catches it. He's ready to turn up field, and he just drops the ball. And it's like, holy crap, dude.
Yeah.
And you just heard the boos. I got to be honest with you, man. I don't even know if you can suit this guy up anymore.
Golladay?
Yeah. Like, you can't do what the NBA does and just, like, you know, they send the guys home.
That's basically where I was going with it. Like, it's conflicting, especially with Sterling Shepard going down with the injury. I know they're two totally different receivers, and you need the depth. But at the same time, This guy's not a fit for the offense. We know he's not going to be on the team next year.
I just think he's washed. I think he's done.
I agree. His contract is untradeable. You can't cut him. I think you're based, like, listen, dude, you signed the contract. Like, yeah. Like we did not offer you this contract. Someone else offered you this contract. You signed it. You wanted to secure the bag. Bravo. You did it. But it is going to be our decision moving forward.
I think we are not going to play you. Put it best. He said, if Galladay comes to the Giants and say, if you're not going to play me, trade me, the response is going to be,
give us back the money.
No, we'd love to, but we can't. And then he's right. going to say, well, release me. And their response is going to be like, we'd love to, but we can't.
But we can't.
And yeah. It's just like, we're just stuck together. And that's exactly what is happening here. That's why.
I think that's what's going on, right? Like, I mean, Kenny Galladay, he has to understand that, you know, like his agent has to have explained that to him. Like they literally, like their cap situation is so bad that you are stuck here for the year. And I think that's what really led to, I mean, outside of the fact that he believes that he can be an alpha wide receiver is what led to the comments this past week where he's saying like, no, like I deserve to be playing more. Like I should be playing more. Like, yeah, like I get it. At the same time, if Dable said, we're literally just not going to dress you for the rest of the season and we're going to trade you or release you at the end of the season, I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, again, like with where this team is, with how bad the cap situation is, with how bad a fit he is for the offense, with everything that's going on.
I just think he's washed, dude.
But he's not a fit. Like, he's just not a fit for what they want to do.
I think he doesn't have the speed. He's just done. I think he cannot get separation. Like, when you watch Kenny Galladay run, it's not a lack of effort. It's not like you can say, well, this guy's not giving effort, get him off the field. The dude can't separate himself from a cornerback.
But that's never been his game, though.
But he's dropping balls. Like,
and that is a fair criticism. But, like, again, for me, and I brought this up when we probably did our season preview. Like, if you just look at the types of receivers that they surrounded Josh Allen with in Buffalo, it is not like the Kelvin Benjamins. It's not these big body dudes.
Right.
It's Isaiah McKenzie,
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. It's this guy has a massive arm. Instead of get him a big body receiver who's going to go up and get it, let's get someone who can go to where the ball is, right? And that's not Kenny Galladay's game. That's what Richie James can do. Sterling Shepard is capable of that. David Sills is to a certain extent. That's not Kenny Galladay's game. He doesn't fit this offense. He wasn't brought in by this regime. His contract is bloated. He came off was back surgery or some sort of injury, hip, back, whatever it was. Like, whatever. Like, at this point, like we're arguing over semantics. Like, whether he's done, whether he's not done, whether he's a fit, whether he's a not fit, it doesn't matter. This guy's not going to be on the team next year. If he wants to get traded or released, fucking sucks. Like, this is the contract you signed.
They can get anybody to trade for him.
I mean, but this is the reality of the situation.
Stuck like,
yeah, exactly. It's a bad marriage. You're going through a divorce, and both of you want the house, and both of you are refusing to leave.
Right.
Like that is what's going on right now, and we just have to live with it. So, like, I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear more about Kenny Galladay saying he wants more snaps. I don't want fans saying, "Oh, this guy fucking sucks." Like get open. Like, whatever, dude. Like, he's not going to be on the team next year. He sucks. Let's just move on and focus on the development of the other receivers.
Just inactive him for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I mean that, because him dressing and standing on the sideline is just a really bad vibe. I think it's sending.
Of course,
it's not something that to me. Look, just make him inactive the rest of the season, and then obviously do what you got to do. But it's clear, bad fit, done. The fact of the matter is the Giants are hurt.
But again, I'm going to just keep harping on this point about him not being a fit. Like, we spoke about this earlier in the season, right? Like, Daniel Jones versus Tyrod Taylor. Like, the goal, especially according to our good friend Warren Sharp, was, well, yeah, like, if Daniel Jones is bad enough that he can't operate this offense and get these players acclimated to this offense, then, yeah, play Tyrod Taylor because Tyrod Taylor is familiar with the offense and whoever can run the offense better. Right? Like, Kenny Galladay just, he does not fit this offense. He does not help.
No.
So, what's the point?
Right.
You know, play someone else. So, that's where we are. Sterling Shepard.
The David Sills thing is a lot bigger, and here's how I'll explain it. David Sills is a great story, right? You've heard it UDFA, practice squad a couple of years, finally gets a shot. I think what Brian Daboll is doing with David Sills is sending a message to the locker room like, hey, I don't care where you're drafted, who were you drafted.
No, it's the same thing with Kenny Golladay. Yeah, like I don't care how much you're getting paid.
You work hard.
Right.
This receiving room is just a mess. I mean,
it's bad.
We haven't even talked
Sterling Shepard had an awful game, by the way. Before the injury, he had an awful game.
The injury just sucks, man, because it's just – the thing about Sterling Shepard is, man, he's an easy guy to root for. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just an easy guy to root for. And just to see him go down after
– I mean, listen, let's separate his play tonight from
– from the injury?
Did not have a good game. No, he didn't have a good game. But also, like, I'm just talking about his tenure as a Giant in general. And I'm pretty sure we spoke about this in the offseason, like – I think the dude should have just retired. I mean, he's had so many concussions that, you know, one more and his brain is mashed potatoes.
I think he had two concussions in 1 year. He had another concussion his like second year. He's had three concussions. He's had the Achilles.
Yeah, and our producer, super producer, Nick Zeraris, I think said it great. Gutted for Sterling Shepard, who's literally given up his career and quality of life for nothing but bad Giant teams. And that's basically what's going on right now. The guy's had a zillion concussions, multiple lower leg injuries, and to just watch him go down at the end of the game like that, I mean, that's a patellar tendon. That's obvious to anyone that's seen other players go down. I tweeted it. It was reminiscent, and I mean, not nearly as gutting for me as the Victor Cruz patellar tendon when he went down against the Eagles. I will never forget that moment. But you feel for the guy. But up until that point, he had an awful game. He got called for that phantom offensive pass interference. I thought that was an awful fucking call. But the coming off the bench after the late hit on Daniel Jones cost them 15 yards and a first down. He had the drop that should have been a fumble. He had another drop on the final drive that was really bad. Really bad drive, and we're not going to see Sterling Shepard again at best for the rest of the year. Probably his tenure as a Giant is over, and maybe some other team will take a chance on him if they need a veteran receiver. But I mean, whatever. Like he should probably just call it a career, and you know, and it sucks too because what's her name, Chanel Iman, something like that, got divorced.
Yeah,
I mean she's a supermodel, right? So,
It is what it is. To stay in New York because personal stuff, but. I think it sucks for Sterling because I do think he's an easy guy to root for. One of my favorite Giants.
Yeah.
Longest tenure Giants, too. But in a bigger picture sense, the Giants receiving room just needs a complete overhaul. We haven't even talked about Kadarius Toney, and we've just complained about the Giants receivers for the past like 5 minutes. We haven't even mentioned.
No. I mean, this receiving room in a year is going to be probably 90% turnover. I mean, Kenny Golladay's not going to be here. Sterling Shepard's not going to be here. Kadarius Toney's probably not going to be here.
I don't know what's
going to be. No, they don't want him. Listen, you and I have both heard from different people that the plays that they ran from in week one and even to an extent in week two were show me plays. Like, go out there and show your explosiveness, your dodginess, and this, that, and the other thing so that, you know, you might have some trade value. They don't want him. This regime, you know, they have their guys, they like their guys, and I think, you know, we're in a year we're looking at Wandale Robinson and a bunch of new dudes.
I mean, the receivers right now are Richie James and David Sills. Those are the two constants right now.
Yeah, I mean, Darius Slayton's going to get some run now, especially with the Sterling Shepard injury, you have to think.
I mean, he would probably – I just don't know what – they have two on the practice squad, Khalil Pimpleton and Marcus Johnson. I looked that up today.
They're probably going to bring Alex Bachman back.
I don't know what you can do with – I mean, Kadarius Toney can't even go through a full week of practice.
No.
He hasn't –
We need Wandale healthy.
Yeah, he's barely played and he's – already hurt. Like, again, I'm not knocking the guy for getting injured. I'm just saying
it's getting to the point where I will knock him for getting injured. Look, because
my thing is, like,
this guy had injury issues in college and he was used as a gadget receiver. Like, we all put our blinders on because of how electric he is and because it was the pick that the Giants traded back with the Bears and everyone got super excited about him. But it gets to the point where it is what it is, man. And again, he's another guy drafted by the previous regime. And I really, if you, you know, I don't think that this is how Mojo works, but if you were going to tell me to buy or short the stock of a certain player with a certain team, I would be shorting Kadarius Toney with his tenure for the Giants.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you can, you're starting to see the writing on the wall. I mean, yeah. My point is like people are saying, well, we just got to get Wandell healthy. Well, Wandell's a second-round rookie. You know, we don't know how his development is going to be when he comes back.
Well, that's the thing. We need him back and healthy so that he can develop. Yes.
I'm just putting it on the table.
For I understand.
What people are saying, and that's like Kadarius Toney. I'm like, well, Kadarius Toney can't even get through a full week of practice. He's already lost trust with the coaching staff. So now you're talking about let's see him get healthy first and be healthy consistently over the course of 2, 3, 4 weeks, and then let's see him build back that trust that he's sort of lost with this coaching staff. And I think those are two major hurdles before you sit up here and tell me, you know, we just need this guy to be out there. No, I think there's a whole element of this that you're not bringing up. So it's the receiver room is a mess. The offensive line is still, you know, under construction. And I know fans don't want to hear that because it's been the case. Special teams.
Well, I still want to talk about the offense for another minute.
Go ahead.
And I got to pull up the box score real quick as I'm looking for Giants and I'm looking at receiving. I thought Daniel Bellinger had a very good game.
Yes.
Targeted 5 times, 4 catches, 40 yards. Great to see. Especially because I know we spoke earlier in the season about the tight end room and... You were banging the table and very adamant. Yeah, exactly. Or lack thereof in the tight end room. You were banging the table that they were going to have to bring someone in to the tight end room because rolling with a 4th-round rookie tight end, probably not the best idea. I think he's played well. And I agreed with you at the time. And I still think that this team could benefit from a more veteran, more explosive receiving option. But I think he's done really well. I'm happy with it, so I just wanted to get that out there. Credit to Bellinger. And then I want to talk about Saquon real quick. I think Saquon had an excellent game. Obviously, he had that nice touchdown run. There was one play that I'll have to go back when we're looking at the All-22 and go pull it up, but it was in the second half, and it just, I don't know why, but prime Lev Bell just came into my mind. He took the handoff. He did that little where he sort of stood up a little vertically, did that quick little stutter step to just wait for the block to develop, and then bang, hit the hole for 6 yards. Outside of the touchdown run, that was probably my favorite Saquon run of the day. He had a slow week two after his explosive week one, but again, he's still continuing to do the things that we've been asking him to do for the last 4 years, which is just run hard, hit the hole, pick up the dirty yards. I think he did a very good job of that this game, so credit to him.
Yeah, I think with Saquon, I had a very special moment with him during the game because I just felt like...
Oh, do tell.
I really felt like he was going to have a special moment, and I tweeted
you did,
it out.
You did. You called it right before that drive. Yeah.
And then it was weird because then a lot of other people started saying the same thing, and I'm like, Anyways, and I can talk about it. I can show you off air. But anyways, I thought, listen, I think Barkley's having a really good...
Well, speaking of predicting shit, Will messaged me before, like, 30 seconds before the Graham Gano blocked field goal and said, I just have a really bad feeling about this, and it got blocked.
I saw a clip of the Will shared of him...
yelling at John Mara.
Yeah. And then there's
that was awesome.
And there's a kid there. I don't know. I don't know if it was a kid, but it was a young guy.
Teenager, yeah. He just looked totally there, bewildered. The hell is this lunatic doing?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get an autograph, man. Over here yelling at the owner. I think one of the things about Saquon that I did want to mention, I actually had it written down right here. Dude, his pass protection is getting a lot better.
Yes.
He had some good blitz pickups in this game. Just looks a lot more comfortable. Night and day difference when we saw last year, which begs the question, franchise tag?
I don't want to talk about it.
All right, we'll table that. So
we'll table what this. Is that?
It's only week three, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about the special teams now? Because there's one element of this game that pissed me off. It was the special teams.
And it was awful all preseason.
Yes.
We hoped that it would get better.
And I was.
It didn't get better.
Yeah, and I was.
With the exception of Graham Gano, who's the best kicker in Giants history, but yeah, I digress. Yeah, go is. On.
He got me. You know, he got me 19 points on my fantasy team, by the way, this week.
No way. That's yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he hit damn. Like two or three 50 yarders, I think. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, look, I think special teams is a problem. They can't cover for a field goal attempt. They can't. They can't cover a punt. They can't cover a kick. Special teams played a big role in this game. Obviously, I know.
Especially for field position.
Yeah, the offensive line. We want to talk about the offensive line costing them. I get that. Receivers costing them. I get that. Run defense. I get that. But don't you mention. I don't want anybody to keep talking about this is what cost us the game and not mention special teams. It is a problem. And when you're playing in a close game, low scoring, and when field position matters, and I hate to sound like Joe Judge, but, my man, you got to be able to cover kicks, and the Giants are not doing that. And it's been a problem. It was a problem in the preseason.
You want to talk about your favorite, Thomas McGahee?
Yeah, I think he gets a lot of praise, and I'm not trying to say he should get fired, but dude, we got to start having a conversation, man. Like, what's going on? Like,
agreed.
Mark Davis had a conversation with Josh McDaniels after the 0-3 start. I think it's, you know, somebody has to have a conversation with Thomas McGahee. Like, dude, what's the problem, man? Like, why is it execution? Is it, you know, like what's the deal? Just an alarming problem for the Giants, man. I don't think it gets discussed enough. But it is a problem.
Agreed. It is.
But Graham Gano is the best kicker in Giants history. I'm fully on board with that.
Especially after that fantasy performance. If you disagree, go debate a wall.
He wouldn't have missed two field goals on Lambeau in the cold. That's all I gotta say.
No. Yeah, exactly. No, we're gonna talk about greatest game. Lawrence Tynes couldn't hit from 60 with 50-mile-an-hour gusts at his back. And almost cost Tom Coughlin his face.
Yeah.
So let's be real here. All right. Anything else you want to talk about, or should we go to Twitter for some questions and comments?
No, let's go to Twitter for some questions and comments. I can't wait for this.
Oh, my goodness. Where the fuck is Slayton? Yeah, well, you'll be seeing him a little bit more with Galladay hopefully benched and Shepard injured. I don't know how you can't expect to see him.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't know what. I mean, I won't be surprised if Khalil Pimpleton's getting snaps over him. I don't know what's happening.
I mean, it's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this receiver room. I really don't know, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know.
Yeah. A lot of Daniel Jones stuff. So did the Daniel Jones meter improve even if just a bit after tonight's game? Not saying franchise QB or anything like that. This is from Samon Silva, loyal listener. Not saying a franchise QB or anything like that, but as a game manager that won't lose the game, but alone won't win it too. Yeah, my Daniel Jones meter went up a little bit after this game. I think it was one of his best as a Giant.
Yeah, I mean, I think, sure. Yeah, meter went up. I said, I thought it was his best career game, but he's mentioned game manager. I'm not looking for a game manager.
No, but again, this is the argument that we had the other week where I don't even remember the exact context, but you were basically saying, you know, I don't expect you to be a world beater, and I sort of threw up my hands and I said, well, then who cares? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, yeah, like, he had a great game, but it doesn't change my opinion of him as a player.
Right.
This one is another Jones Day. How do we make sense of Jones' performance? Insanely gritty and consistently made franchise QB-type plays. He was bad the first two games and was really good in a bad loss. Does it even matter? Even if he strings these performances together. I think that's the key point. Does it even matter? Yeah, I don't think it matters.
Like, feels like he... Like, I think Daniel Jones got let down today, but I think people have to understand the situation, man. Like, you can't... Like, it is awkward, and when discussing it, it's like some of it doesn't make sense. But, like, dude, they are stuck with him for this year.
Yeah.
They've already told us that they don't believe in him. Like, it's you really just have to go week to week, but not try to make it a big picture thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, just go week to week and then, you know, react to the results on a weekly basis. And then at the end of the season, make your whole judgment.
And speaking of that retort from Matt, shocked by the level of how little pressure Kayvon generated his first game.
I understand.
Not everyone's going to be Micah Parsons.
I understand this. A lot of us. I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau should be compared to Micah Parsons.
Two totally different players.
They didn't draft Kayvon Thibodeau with the extra first round pick that they got. They drafted Evan Neal with that pick. Thibodeau was the fifth pick.
I don't think that matters anyway.
It doesn't, but I'm just saying, players. Like, they're not connected at all.
From Gav, why are people freaking out? Do most fans not know that it's an evaluation year? Like, we were never going to be long-term winners. Yeah, it was fun to be 2-0. Yeah, I mean, this is basically what we opened the episode with. It's the moment. Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't fault fans for getting excited about 2-0 and hoping for the best.
It was an emotional night. I was really, really impressed by the crowd. Yes. It's emotional. Can I just say something real quick and I'll let you continue?
You can say whatever you want.
I fucking hate Dez Bryant. Dude, the Cowboys... let you go.
I saw he tweeted something during the game.
They let you go. They refused to bring you back when they had a clear need at receiver. They've been completely done with you, but you're sitting there with a Cowboys jersey on and a Cowboy hat on in the suite. Like, dude. Anyways.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep going.
From Ryan, you think Shep ever plays again? Not for the Giants.
Nah, I think that's... I mean, listen, he just suffered the injury. I'm not going to... figure it out, man. It's think about it with yourself. It's a season-ending injury, and it's the last year of his deal. What do you think how's this thing going to play out?
From Yusuf, what are we thinking this receiving core looks like since Shep may be out for the year and Galladay's a useless bum? we just answered that, I think, already, but we have no fucking idea.
Our answer was it's so bad that it took us 5 minutes to bring up Kadarius Toney, which could be the biggest issue in the Giants. Receiving
a lot of people upset that I don't love Daniel Jones.
Is it just me
or is Daniel Jones' feel for the game historically bad? I wouldn't say it's historically bad, but his pocket awareness isn't great.
I mean, guys, it's week. It's year four. Like,
yeah.
What do you? You want us to eliminate every bad performance when there's a good performance?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what people are looking for.
From Dylan, two-step question. One, how did we feel about how Dable handled that end-of-half drive? And when is this offense going to perform in the first half? I get that the halftime adjustments work, but what are they seeing at half that they aren't seeing to start the game? Also, what is the offensive game plan for wideouts, and what do you think the coaching staff needs to see from 89 to finally get the playing time and trust to be that guy? Because they clearly need a spark or a wideout. They need to see him practice. I would say that's... Yeah.
I think we laid it out, right? Get healthy, consistently practice for a whole week.
Yeah, and don't be dogging it in practice.
And then prove that you can be a contributor and they can trust you on the field. Because right now there's some lack of trust there, so... either you're saying, you know, Tony is right and Dayball and the coaching staff are wrong, or it's vice versa. I'm just laying it out to you. This is what he needs to do. Step one, let's go through a full week of practice without getting hurt.
I think that's it for majority of the comments questions. Anything else we want to cover?
No. I just think it's a...
go download the Mojo app if you live in Jersey.
Yeah. It's a fun app. I think when I get out to Jersey, I would definitely...
it's really cool. It looks like Robin Hood, but for sports. It is really cool.
I'm interested to see if it's going to become more of a measuring stick when we talk about grading players. Like other, you know, other platforms are as well. You know?
Yeah, especially because it's a good... like, you can measure a player's... it's tough because when you're talking about sports betting, there's going to be public money and there's going to be sharp money. And you start looking at some of the line movements, and it's very difficult to sort of gauge the public perception of a player. I think it's going to be way easier with a stock market format like Mojo, which I think is very cool. So really, I think it is the first of its kind. Very excited to try it out. So go check out the Mojo app. I think Sterling Shepard's stock price has crashed to zero because of the injury, but there are some other players that you can certainly buy and sell on. So go ahead and check it out if you're in Jersey.
Yep, and just a quick update on Shepard from Jordan Schultz with Schultz Report. Giants are preparing for the worst regarding Sterling Shepard's injury.
It's a patellar.
I'm told the fear is it's a season-ending scenario, though tests in the AM will provide more clarity. I think Darius Slayton also had a comment that he teared up a little bit when Shepard went down. So he clearly means a lot to the Giants locker room. It's a tough loss.
And a check-in from our old friend Odell Beckham Jr., who replied to a video of Shepard going down. The original video's comment said, "The MetLife Stadium turf strikes again. It needs to go." And Odell said, "Just get rid of it all the fuck together, bro. Billions made off this game. I can't understand why we can't play on grass. That shit is rough. Prayers up for my brother. Shit just hurt my heart." So, yeah, once again, more players coming out against the MetLife turf.
I'm with you with the turf thing, but you know, Beckham tore his ACL on grass. Saquon tore his ACL on grass. Look, I
but still, you go back to other teams coming to MetLife complaining about the turf
I'm
as
not,
well.
I'm so. Not. They did. Look, I'm not sticking up for them.
Hell yeah, man. I tore my meniscus on shitty turf too. Yeah.
They did. Wasn't MetLife. They did redo the turf this offseason. I don't know. Look, I'm not. I think we spoke about this during the preseason.
Yeah, we did.
I don't have like a number sheet in front of me. I can't.
Listen, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen to the players.
I'm
going
to say I'm going to listen to the player too. If they say the MetLife Stadium turf is a problem, then I'm going to side with them. It just sucks, man. I felt really bad for Sterling Shepard. A little nugget. I was working sort of behind the scenes to get Shep on the podcast.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore.
I communicated with some of the people with the Giants communications department and someone also close to Sterling Shepard. It was sort of preliminary talks. I don't even know if I got the Shepard yet, but it just sucks. I feel really, really bad for him. Brutal way to end the game, but you move forward. The Giants desperately need somebody to step up, a skill position player to step up, whether it's Bellinger or a receiver. Somebody's got to step up because it's just right now, it's just the Saquon Barkley show. And on we go.
On we go. All right. We will talk to you guys, I hope, on Thursday. We will have the Bears preview up. Reached out to someone who...
Holy shit.
Yeah, man. It might be unwatchable, but we will still watch. And the guest for that one is TBD. I got to reach out tomorrow, but there were some early conversations. Old friend, had him on the Islanders podcast, Chicago guy. And like you said, on we go. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Wise at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review, and go download the Mojo app in the Apple App Store if you live in Jersey. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace.